How do you actually find the job once you find the companies that are hiring? We'll deal with that in Company of One, episode number 92.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan, dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
Okay, last week I went into the issue of who's hiring. I got you just based upon so many questions that I get over and over, who is hiring and how do you get the jobs? How do you find the jobs? So we're going to dive into the question there today of who is hiring or how to get the job. Last time we talked about who's hiring, how to find out who's hiring. And the answer, by the way, was everybody is hiring. Every single company, including you, is hiring. And it's a matter of identifying the problem, identifying the pain, and being able to solve the problem. Now, how do we actually get inside and, once we know that, get inside, find the opportunity that we should go after? So I'm mostly going to focus on some examples more than anything, just give you a couple of examples to think about in kind of different, couple of different realms. Because that might help, I hope. These are examples, probably if you've heard me speak on the networking stuff, you may have heard these before, but we might add a little bit different twist to them. And it was great to be with, the other day, I was with the Augusta chapter of the PMI, or the Augusta group, where they were doing their professional development day. I think it was their first time to do that. It was great to work with those people. A lot of people from government groups there. A lot of government workers, retired military that were working. So it was really an interesting group, and they have unique pains themselves. And so it was, not only the government, but the people that have, are kind of stuck in these positions. And many of them would describe it as stuck also. So it was great to be there, though, and share with them and hopefully add a lot of value to them. That's, I love the speaking is the one thing, when you look at what do you do best, what do you love the most? Probably I like speaking the most. Now, it's not because I'm egotistical, which I sure am. I'm sure I am, but it's not because of that, but it's because it seems to take me less time to prepare to speak than it does to do anything else. Even these podcasts which is better than writing. I'm not the best writer. Some of you who have read my stuff or say, we would agree with that. But when I speak, it's just one of the easier things to me to do. It's a sense of connecting in a way that I can't do anywhere else. I just cannot connect with people one-on-one. On one-on-one you can, but when you've got to get feedback, and when you're speaking to a group, you get lots of feedback, facial expressions, people walking out of the room, falling asleep in their chairs, those kind of feedback. But you get actual comments back, because usually I'm speaking to a group that's small enough, even a group of 100, it's small enough that you can get some verbal feedback. Not everybody's going to say something, but you can get some. When they get a little bit bigger than that, it's a little more challenging. But so I enjoy it. Now, why am I telling you that? You're like, Dale, we really don't care what you enjoy. But it's important for you to identify those kind of things for you. What is your natural skill talent? I work with some people in my mastermind group who are good speakers, but that's not their best skill because it takes them a great amount of time to prepare to speak. But they can generate content, written content, video content, podcast content. They just make my head spin. So, you look for your natural skill sets. Where do they fit? And that applies so much here to what we're talking about today. We're talking about how do you find opportunities. Now, we've talked about who's hiring. But let me just back up one little step and say, one of the concepts of this, or the big concept of this podcast, is that you and I, we're companies of one. You operate as a company. You are making money from somebody, or you intend to be, by providing a service. That is the definition, the exchange of money for services, or the exchange of money for goods and services, is the definition of doing business. So by that definition, Walmart is a business. By that definition, Amazon is a business. By that definition, Honda is a business. By that definition, an employee for Amazon is a business. I switched that on you, right? An employee for Amazon is a business because they're providing a service to Amazon in exchange for money. By that definition, you are a business. You are just looking for ways to exchange your skills, your services that you can provide for money. That's really all we are doing here, right? When we are going to work, we're looking at how can I serve other people in exchange for money. It's not about an employment agreement. It's not about a job. It's not about benefits and all those kind of things. Those are ways they pay you, the benefits, by the way. Benefits is part of the paycheck. So when you're looking for a job, you are a business looking for a customer. Let me say that again. When you are looking for a job, you're just a business looking for a customer. So if you are currently employed and you're looking for a different job, a better job, and what you are is you're a business that is serving one group of customers and you would really like to be serving another group of customers. So you're looking for another group. How do you market to a new group of customers? Right? If Walmart starts to sell automobiles, then and that's where they want their future to be, is American-made automobiles built by Walmart. Then Walmart starts to look for, okay, that's the business we want to be in. We're making good money here. We know how to operate a store. We know how to do this. We're going to keep making this money. I'm just not going to shut down our stores, but we're going to start looking for how can we get customers to buy cars. And when we get enough of that, and maybe it's quickly or maybe it's not, I'll decide whether to shut down the stores. Now, I'm not predicting what's happening with Walmart. That's an example. That's what we do. When we have a job and we're thinking, I might want a different job, we're looking for that other customer base and what the problem is to solve. And when I get it, I close down business to my previous customer. Now, businesses do this all of the time. They quit serving segments of the market. We've had lawn care companies that will just tell us, you know, we're not serving your zip code anymore. It's a business decision, and that's fair. It doesn't make financial sense, or for whatever reason, they just decide it doesn't make sense to serve this particular area anymore. They're growing in another area. And that's what happens when you get another job. You're growing into a new area. It doesn't always have to be a negative situation, but it's a customer. You are looking for a customer. If you are out of work, if you currently do not have any income, you're coming back into the workplace and you haven't been in here for a long time, or you have lost a job, and it doesn't really matter how long you've been out of work, it's irrelevant. You are an individual company looking for a customer. You are a bicycle shop that has been in business for years, and then suddenly people quit buying the kind of bicycles they were making. So they took some time off and they revamped, and now they're ready to sell new bicycles again. And now they have to go find customers. They're a business still. You're a business. If you have no income, you're not employed, you are still a business. You're just a business looking for a customer. Okay. Hopefully I've beat that home to you. That sounds easy. It's a little subtle, but it sounds easy. But that's the reality, by the way. That's how you are looked at by the business. I won't go into that too much, but your employer looks at you not as an employee, but as a business unit. at least when you get high enough. HR doesn't, but that's another story. We're talking about the people who actually authorize you to be there. So you're looking for customers. How do you go about that? Well, when you understand that you are a company and that you need a customer, what you're doing is you're finding the best way to find your customers. Now, what Walmart or Chick-fil-A or bicycle shop in the corner do, they don't just start cold calling people. I mean, most of the stuff we do, like updating a resume, filling out job ads, it's insane. Companies don't do that kind of thing. What companies do to find people is they find ways to attract them. They find ways to be around where the customer is. They find ways to be in their face. They find ways to talk about how they can solve their problem, right? You get the little advertisements from your mailbox from Walmart, and they're trying to tell you how much they can save you on food and groceries. And oftentimes it's when you have come in after coming from the grocery store and you've checked the mail and you've got this thing in your hand. You know, and that's somewhat their theory. They want to attract you to come to Walmart next time or this time. So to do this, you've got to think like your customer. You got to think like them. You got to think about what it is that they need. So let me give you the concept and then give you a couple of examples. We talked about last time, everyone is hiring. Your first challenge is to find out who do you want to be interacting with? What customers do you want to be interacting with? Contact them, go have some conversations with them, and find ways to get involved with them. When we think like our customer, let's think about some key points. Who do people want to hire? Sounds like a simple question, right? Who do they want to hire? Who do you want to hire as a plumber for your house when you got a stopped up sink? As a painter for your house? As a lawn care person? As a babysitter for your kids? As someone to clean your home? As a dentist? As a doctor? Who do you want to hire? Now, there's obviously some of these areas you care a lot more about skill than others. And let's be honest, we don't care about skill near as much in some of these things as we do in others. Matter of fact, when we bring a plumber into our home, we rarely check them out. Let's be frank, when we go to a medical doctor, we rarely check them out. We get it from somebody else's opinion, and it's not necessarily accurate to us. So who do people like? What do you expect? You expect to like them, right? You generally do not do business with people you do not like, or you do not trust, or they rub you the wrong way, or they just irritate you. No, most people do business with people they like. They like their doctor, they like their dentist, they like their plumber, they like their carpenter, like they like their babysitter, they like their house cleaner. They do business with people they like. So your number one issue to get inside of companies is to get them to like you. Right? Now, I'm not saying skills don't matter. Skills do matter. But it's not necessarily the first thing nor the last thing. It's one of those in-between things. Skills matter, but not the hiring point. Because with your skill set, I can hire two or three different people with your skill set, but I might only like one. Okay, so likability is a very big issue. So how do you get people to like you? How do you get people to like you, to feel warm enough about being around you, to be trusting of you? The number one way is you get them to talk about their favorite subject, which is them. You get them to talk about them. You get them talking about things they care about. Now, that's opposite what we do in the job hunt. When we go to the job hunt and I'm approaching you for a job, traditional advice is I'm going to go talk your ear off about how awesome I am, how great of a job I can do. And I might ask you of two or three questions, but as soon as I get the answer to those questions, I'm going to sell, sell, sell like a machine. And I sound like a used car salesman because you are. That's about the quality that you're selling. Excellent salespeople never do that. They never do that. Matter of fact, an excellent salesperson, you wouldn't even call a salesperson. They're so good at their job that they're almost a member of the team. They're so well liked. So your job is to get inside and to become a member of the team. So let me just give you a couple of interviews. I mean, a couple of examples that I have done. These are situations that I have run into before where this comes about. When I was working for Bell South, or what's currently AT&T, I realized at a certain point I hated my job. And I will say I despised this job. It wasn't the company necessarily. There were a lot of things about the company I didn't like. It had very poor morale. The management, I did not respect. There were times that there was blatant lying going on to their bosses, you know, that I could tell. It was kind of the good old boy network, very gruff, very rough, some union activity going on. And actually, the union activity was probably one of the better things about it. But, you know, just it wasn't the best environment in the world. But all that said, the real problem was I didn't fit. So I didn't like it. So I got miserable, and I started doing some research, and I came across a book called What Color Is Your Parachute? Many of you are probably familiar with it, probably a job hunter's guide. And I read through it, and there was a couple of things in it. And one thing that was in it was, you know, just how to make connections with people. And it was very much what I've been talking about is you go out there and you reach out to people, and let me just give you the scenario. So one of his first things was decide kind of what you might want to do. Okay, so I thought about that a while and thought, you know, there's something I was interested in. It was personal finance. How can I help people with their personal finance? It was an interest, not an expertise. I had zero certifications, zero knowledge really of how to do it except for myself. So I thought, okay, well, that's what I would like to do. Because I was so stuck and I so hated what I was doing, I was looking for a real diversion. So that's what I'd like to do. So his second thing was, who's doing it now? Okay, so, you know, you want to find successful people. You want to find people that are doing it now. So I picked up the telephone book. You guys remember what those things are? You know those things they throw in your front porch and your kids are like, what is that big giant sheet of paper in that big book for? But at the time, you know, this was the thing. This was before Google searches was quite that powerful. But I picked up the telephone book and I found a finance company that was in town. I was looking for a finance company where I could get to the owner, not the big national chains. And I found one that was locally owned. I found a couple, but I'll look for the biggest one, you know, that I thought was the biggest. And of course, I didn't really know for sure, but I was just going on what I could tell. So I opened the phone book, I find this, and I'm like, okay, here's the company. So then the deal was, in this guy's book, Richard Bowles, who wrote the book, and he talks about, you know, making the contact. I don't remember all of his context, but I'm just going to go back and from what I do remember. And he talks about, you know, getting in touch, and not. I remember him specifically saying, you're not going to look for a job, you're going to look for information. You're not going to take resumes, you're not going to ask for an interview, you're not going to ask if they're hiring, you're going to go meet and talk. Right? Because what you want to do is you want to get in front of your customers and see if there's an opportunity. Not call them up and say, are you hiring? If you call them up and say you're hiring, I can tell you where you're going. You're going straight to HR. You're going to a dead end. And I had that experience, by the way. So I tried this. I picked up the phone. And by the way, you're talking about a guy that's the rawest of introverts. And I'm probably less introverted now, but at this time, This was a very nerve-wracking experience. I picked up the phone and I dialed him, and the lady answers, and I said, "Hey, can I speak to the owner?" Now, I fully expected what to get there, because I kind of didn't believe the guy who wrote the book, Richard Bowles. I kind of expected the runaround. You know, he can't talk to you. Do you have an appointment? Are you worth $40 bazillion? And then he'll talk to you. You know, I kind of expected something like that. But no, what happens is she says, "Well, his name is Tom and he'll be right with you." And I remember sitting there. I was sitting at my desk. I was holding the phone in my hand thinking, what do I do now? I really didn't know what to do now because I didn't expect that to happen. When this guy, and before I know it, before I get my head clear, this guy answers the phone. "Hey, this is Tom. How can I help you?" And I was stunned because now I had just pierced through the company right to the owner. And I didn't know what to do. So I said this. I said, "Look, you don't know me. My name is Dale Callahan. I'm a local telecommunications engineer, and I'm really interested in the world of personal finance, but I don't know where to get started. Can I come and talk to you and ask you some questions?" And I was so nervous, I just rattled it off so fast, probably faster than I just said it. Because I was nervous. I didn't know what to say. And I don't even know if I said it so fast he could even understand me. And he said, "Well, yeah, sure. Why don't you come on over Tuesday morning at 9:00? Do you know where my office is?" And I remember thinking, I wasn't thinking. I was like, "Sure." And I hung up the phone and I was thinking, What just happened? I did not expect any of that to happen. So, you know, I got in the car on Tuesday morning. I drove over there, and I went back to the guy's book, and I followed the script. I didn't take a resume. I just went in there and said, "Thank you for taking your time out. Here's where I am, a telecommunications engineer. I'm really interested in finance, so I'm just trying to figure out where to go. So tell me, Tom, how did you get started in this business?" And I sat back and listened. And the guy was passionate, you know, about talking about the business and how he got started. And he was energetic about it. Now, he asked me some questions during this, but mostly he talked about himself, and I kind of let it because it was an interesting story. And part of the reason it was an interesting story is because he was passionate about it. It was his story. And it began in a fairly simple place and ended in this him owning this place and having all these employees. And I was, you know, it was kind of a, wow, you know, this is pretty cool. And then we talked about that. I talked to ask him, "Hey, what do you love and what do you hate about this business?" And we chatted for a few minutes. And by the time 20 minutes, I'd asked him for 20 minutes of his time. And by the time 20 minutes got near up, I said, "Tom, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. But I asked for 20 minutes. I don't want to hold you more than that." And he said to me, he said, no. You know, he offered to introduce me around to other people. And I was just like, no, you know, I'm just going to stick to my guns right now and say 20 minutes was it, and that was it. So as we were walking to the door, he hands me his card. He says, "If you have any questions, feel free to call me. Here's my direct number." You know, that was kind of cool. I was thinking, I was kind of smiling as I left there. I was like, wow, I got free access to the owner now. I mean, it was, you know, that may be trivial to you, but to me at that time, that was stunning. That now I had free access to this person. And as we were walking out the door, he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Well, you know, Dale, we're not really hiring anybody right now. And I really haven't hired anybody in years." He said, "But, you know, I really like your spirit. Would you be interested in coming to work for us?" And I remember sitting there stunned. Again, I've had many stunning experiences in this one time. And I remember thinking that Richard Bowles in his book talked about, what do you do if this happens? What do you say? But, you know, I had skipped that part because I thought, that will never happen. You're not going to go in somewhere and try to talk to somebody and get a job offer without asking. So I thought that would never happen. Well, it was happening. And I stumbled around for a minute and I said, "Thank you so much, Tom, and thank you for your time. I'm really looking for information and exploring, but let me get back to you on that." Which, by the way, turned out to be the right answer in the book. And I remember leaving there, walking, getting in my car and thinking, I just got offered a job. And then I remember cranking up the car and looking over the hood, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. It just hit me. No, I just created a job out of thin air. There was no job. And I'm kind of like Tigger on Winnie the Pooh. I'm the only one. I'm not competing with five other guys. I'm the only one. Now, that was a stunning experience. People tell me when I tell that story all the time, did you take the job? No, I didn't take the job. I sent him a thank you note, by the way, which is a critical thing. But I didn't take the job for several reasons, and partly it's because that made my head spin. That was an eye-opening experience that made me realize things. That made me realize how you can pierce into a company in ways that I never thought about before. And I really didn't even understand it then, but I was beginning to. Now, that process I just told you about, and me, you know, there's some things I've added to it that work. I teach that in our graduate program, the Information Engineering Management program, our management of Masters of Engineering Management at the university. I teach this. As a matter of fact, we require everybody to go out there and do these interviews, which is, for some people, a stunning thing. But so often what people tell me is they're like, Dale, I've got a great job. I'm not looking for a job. And I remember this one guy, Frank, and Frank, it was a industrial sales guy, wore boots and jeans all day. And Frank's not a shy guy, so this wasn't really hard for him. But he came into me, he's like, you know, I'm not looking for a job. And I was like, okay, Frank, what's fair. I said, then what kind of information would you like about the sales thing? Why don't you go out and do this interview, this reverse interview process to get some more information about sales? And he said, well, you know, I'm okay. He says, you know, I wonder what it'd be like to sell high-end financial services, you know, where I'm wearing a suit and tie all day. Knock yourself out. So he did it more of as an explorer, what does sales look like on the other side? And he came back to me and he said, hey, you know, I went out to one of the big firms. It's just, I won't give the name, but I went out to one of the big firms and I had an interview with some of their local guys that were in charge of their office and just went and asked them questions and basically what you told me to ask. And a couple of months later, he comes up to me and he says, you remember that interview that I had? He said, they called me back. He wasn't asking for a callback. He just wanted information. He said, they called me back and asked me to come talk to them. And I came talk to them, and then they said, you know, Frank, when you were in here, that the time you came and talked to us, remember that? And he was, yeah, sure. You know, they said that we've really been thinking about that interview. Right? They were thinking about him interviewing them. Now, here's one of the reasons why they liked Frank. Partly because Frank got them to talk about themselves. But they were thinking about it and talking about it. And they need to create a new position. And they would like to offer it to him. Now, Frank was not looking for a job. They did not have a job open. As a matter of fact, they were about to create this position. But they handpicked Frank. Now, I remember him telling me, he said, you know, I would have thought if I was going to interview for that company, I would have been interviewing at this level, let's say a level 5. I don't know what their levels are, you know, but he just said a level 5. He said, they were putting me in charge at a much higher level. He said, I was going to be going around selling to corporate Fortune 100s, I believe, in a suit and a tie and selling, you know, in nice plush corporate office buildings. I believe he was selling their 401k plans. So he was not doing sales to the individual like he thought he would have been doing. He was selling to corporates. They hired him for that. He set a one-year goal for that, and he did it for 1 year. And he came back to me later, and first of all, that's stunning, right? He got a job. Now, he actually left that job later. He set a goal, left that job later, and said, I went and did it. I know what it's like. And then he decided, I want to go back and do the industrial stuff that was more fun for whatever reason. And when he came back to the industrial stuff, he was in charge of sales. He ended up being promoted partly because he had learned a new skill, Actually, he had learned several skills in that. Now, I tell you Frank's story because I see that when we make people do this, they're constantly calling me back and saying, remember that crazy little interview you sent me on? This guy called me back and offered me a job. It happens over and over and over and over and over again. People get job offers. They're not looking. These people are employed, gainfully employed, making good money. They're not looking for jobs. Are you getting the idea? We're just connecting. Now, let me give you just let me give you one other example. Well, let me give you a couple of other examples. I'm kind of running tight on time, but let me throw you this. How do you find an opportunity? I was doing something where we were meeting with the team. We had an engineering team. This company, what they did is they took wood, biodegradable wood chips, and they would put them on a barge. They would take a sawmill stuff, the leftover sawdust. They would put it into wood pellets. They would put the wood pellets on a barge, ship them to Europe, and sell them as renewable fuel. So it was I'm taking waste products, manufacturing them, and reusing them. So we're talking to the company about their manufacturing process, and it's a couple of their engineers and me and the guy that's engineering on our team. I think there might have been two of us there. And so we're there talking to them about their challenges. The CEO was there and their engineering team. Now, you know how that works. We're the consultants that come in. The engineers didn't really want us there. So as the engineers sat there, every question we asked, they had the most brilliant answer to. They knew more than we did, and they were going to make sure we knew it. I can't blame them. But, so the end of the meeting, we were going nowhere. At the end of the meeting, we're getting up, and I look over at the CEO, and I said, what keeps you awake at night? And his question just stunned me because, you remember, that's the last question. If you've done the reverse interview stuff and if you've seen my post on the reverse interview, that's the last question. His answer was, we put biodegradable material on a barge, and when you do, it's eventually biodegradable material is going to catch on fire. He said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to catch on fire. When it does, it's going to burn the barge in two, and then the Corps of Engineers is going to have us, come pick up the barge. And anyway, he rattled off what, we kind of calculated was about a $2.5 million risk. It took him all of 15 seconds to say this. He said it much more succinctly than I just did. And I looked back at his engineering team. I said, hey, what are you guys going to do about this? And they didn't know. This guy had just told us two things. He had told us his biggest problem and the value. All right? We could have done two things with that. We could have come back and created a product that we would have sold him that would have solved this problem. Or we could have created a job position and said, here's how I would solve that problem. I'll do ongoing, whatever I do, and I'll solve that problem for you if you'll pay me this much a year. I mean, at a $2.5 million risk, you could get a pretty good salary if you could make that risk go away. I find that question all the time. I've had friends who started companies off of that question. They sit down with the right person and say, what keeps you awake at night? What's your big problem? And when they find out their problem, all they do is they find a solution to it. I hope I'm making sense to you. We're not talking about looking in the want ads and go finding people who are hiring and then updating our resume to look like that and filling out their little job ad form and then going and talking to them and getting our first interview with HR, trying to get past HR so I could get to the real meeting. Forget all that garbage. Pierce the system. Find the opportunity that you want. Find the customers you want to serve. Find out what their pain is that you want to serve. I do this, that question right there, what keeps you awake at night? Sometimes I word it about what's holding back your business. It depends on the conversation. I was sitting at a luncheon with a guy not too long ago. We're sitting there and, those luncheons where you don't know anybody and so I'm talking to people the guy next to me just because me sitting there staring into space looked awkward. I'm a pretty big introvert, but it's more introverting to look awkward. So, you know, I try to stir up some conversation. So I talked to the guy next to me. And I said, you know, what do you do? And I forget his name. He says, well, I'm a medical sales. I own a medical equipment company. Okay. You know, and what kind of equipment? And so he tells me, you know, we just have a few minutes before the speaker comes up. And I said, hey, you know, what's your biggest challenge in your company? He said, sales, you know, which is not really a big issue. You see that all the time. So I said, okay, what holds you back in sales? And for some reason, I was intrigued now. What is it about sales that's your challenge? And he kind of leans into me and he gets into the conversation and he says, you know what? He says, if I can get to doctors, I can sell my equipment. It's an easy sell. And he rattled off why. He said, but I cannot ever get to the doctors because they got the gatekeepers. He said, so I spend all my time banging on their office managers and their gatekeepers just trying to get a meeting with the docs. He says, and once I can get inside, I can sell. He said, but it just burns up our time and all our salespeople. That's all they're doing. They're dialing for dollars all day. That's his biggest challenge. Now, I know the solution to that. I'm not even a salesperson, but I don't know the solution perhaps, but you know what he's told me is you're doing the wrong thing and you're doing it in the wrong way to make the sale. How can you get around the doctors in a way that's different from that? How can you get the doctors to call you? How can you get past the gatekeepers? There's several simple things he could be doing there, but what he told me is he had a job opportunity for somebody who could solve his problem. I talk to this about colleges and universities all the time. I talk to them and they say, you know, what's your biggest challenge? And almost every single one of them is, we need more students. Okay. Now it depends on the school. If you're talking to a business school, they're a little bit better at this. But when you're talking to engineering schools and technical schools and stuff like that, when you look at what they're doing, now I'm not talking about the ITT techs, you know, the ITTs and stuff like that, they're corporate. But I'm talking about the other ones that are not corporate. They don't know what they're doing. Right? You have engineers trying to sell engineering schools. They don't know how to sell. You have computer science people trying to sell computer science programs. They don't know how to sell. Because what they're trying to do is just attract people because they think it's net. They think they're going to do awesome stuff and people are going to show up at their door. They don't know the simple thing about getting in front of people. Now, so these are examples, but so here's my challenge to you. If you're in line at the grocery store, people, and somebody creates a conversation with you, ask them what they do. What do they do? And then ask them, hey, what's your biggest challenge? And especially if they're in management or they're the boss or they're the owner, what's your biggest challenge? Companies that you go to and then you work, you know, when you go get your car done and you go to see the mechanic and the mechanic comes out and talking to you, here's your car and you're doing the financial stuff and you're talking to the owner. You know, you have these little chit-chats you have with the companies you do business with all the time. Hey, what's your biggest challenge? When you go see the dentist and you got that few minutes and after the dentist is walking away from, hey, what keeps you awake at night? What's your biggest challenge being a dentist? What holds this business back? I mean, if you just get in the practice of asking that in easy conversations, you will learn a ton. You may not want any of these jobs, by the way, but if you get asking this question all the time, you will learn how to ask it and you will find opportunities. I now find so many opportunities. I don't ask this all the time, but if I get in conversations, I generally will ask it. Because it's interesting what holds a business back. It's rarely what I think it is, by the way. I'm always surprised what the issues are. But what happens is I know about tons of opportunities. I know about so many opportunities, but I can't ever keep up with them. And people will ask me, where are the opportunities? I'm like, I run into several every day. But I don't have a list. And maybe I need a better way of doing this. But I don't have a list. And my list doesn't matter. You go find your own opportunities. What I'm talking about right here is how to find a job, how to find those hidden opportunities. All these things I'm talking about are reasons people would hire. your job, going back to episode 91, by the way, this is episode 92, going back to episode 91, all the companies are hiring. How do you pick one you want to mess with? Because you can't talk to them all. Once you get inside, how do you find that job? You have this conversation. I'm just giving you examples now. I can give you example after example after I can wear you out in examples of this stuff happening. And friends of mine can wear you out in examples of this stuff happening. It's all about connecting, listening. These opportunities out there, there's a million of them. So I'm going to leave it at that. We're going to leave it at those examples. Thank you so much for your time today. I do want to encourage you to, this is the Company of One podcast. If you, I've been asking people to leave reviews, and I'm still doing it because it's been a little bit of a struggle for people to leave reviews. I forget that this is an issue. You can do this with your iPhone, by the way. You can leave reviews, and I told you last time you couldn't. Somebody corrected me. I'm going to post in the show notes, dalecallahan.com/92, how to find a job, finding hidden opportunities. I'm going to post in the, and it's dalecallahan.com/92. I'll post in the show notes how to leave a iTunes review. If you leave an iTunes review, send me an email and tell me, it's just dale@dalecallahan.com, and tell me you left an iTunes review and here's your name and the country, by the way. I realized the other day, I'm sorry. If you're coming from a different country from the U.S., you got to tell me. I can't tell it's there. I have to look intentionally at the country. It's kind of a weird thing with iTunes. So tell me if you're in Australia or somewhere. Hey, I left an iTunes review. I'm logged in as Australia. You know, if you want to post what you reviewed, great. I'm not asking. It doesn't have to be. I just want an honest review. And because we just want honest feedback. It's helpful to other listeners when they look at stuff, you know, they look at your feedback and see what you have to say. But I'll put a note in the show notes of how to do this from your Mac, your PC, and your iPhone. And this probably is the same for an Android or any other device too. So y'all go make this happen. Go try to find something. Open up some doors. Ask some questions. Interact with your customers.